Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Please follow along with your own Bible or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Hear the word of the Lord. That day when evening came, he, meaning Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What are you afraid of? What causes your mind to race or keep you up at night? What distracts you from being present because you're afraid of what will happen? You know, we all can agree that there's so many things to worry and stress about. We go through these what-if scenarios afraid that something that we don't want will happen or something that we do want won't happen. We go down these rabbit trails trying to figure things out and find solutions so that we can have peace. But because so much is out of our control, we just remain anxious. So what are you afraid of today? Maybe you're afraid that you won't be able to find a job or that you won't have enough money for the future to make ends meet. For some of you, you're afraid if your marriage is going to even make it or if you are going to even make it. Some fear that their health will never improve, or that if they have beat an illness, that it will come back. While others fear that they will never get married. Some fear that their best days are already behind them. While others fear all the unknowns about their future. Some fear for their kids, for their safety and protection, or if they will grow up to make wise decisions. Others fear death for themselves or even a loved one. Then turn on the news and there are always more things to be afraid of. Wars and rumors of more wars, there's nuclear weapons, crime, violence, corruption, racism, viruses. And because many of us are stressed and fearful, how do we cope? Maybe binge watch Netflix, play video games, overeat, overexercise, overspend, or do something else in an attempt to escape our fears and try to forget our worries. Some overdrink, overmedicate, take drugs, watch porn, or gamble as ways to cope. And because we are distracted by our fears, such fears can end up spilling onto others, as we can often be short-tempered and end up hurting those around us with our words and with our actions. Many feel defeated and afraid because there is that voice telling you that you're not enough, not good enough, not smart enough, not successful enough, not attractive enough, not enough. Many of us feel suffocated by fear because we're so overwhelmed by all the what ifs and we often feel helpless. Famous author Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Fear defeats more people than any other one thing in the world." But we read in Scripture that whenever people were afraid, Jesus would respond, "Do not be afraid or fear not." And he would say these things again and again and again, and I wonder why. Was he trying to encourage us to just leverage the power of positive thinking in our lives and ignore reality? Was he trying to give us false hope that in time all things would just magically get better? Or was he saying that because it was just a nice thing to say so that we wouldn't panic? You know, we're in our new sermon series called Miracles of Jesus, showing the world the love, power, and authority of God because we all have prayed for or hoped for miracles. Some of us have even experienced miracles. But what are miracles? They're significant events that either pause or reverse the typical operation of nature and that cannot be explained by natural laws. There are times when God intervenes in the natural order of things and does something seemingly unexpected, impossible, and yet extraordinary. And all throughout Scripture, Jesus performed miracles demonstrating his undeniable compassion for people and that he has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. His miracles were invitations to faith and tangible ways for people to see that he is the God who came to love us, to forgive us, and to reconcile us back to him. Jesus came with the purpose of healing and restoring all that is broken in us and in our world. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus demonstrated numerous miracles, not so that people would be drawn to the miracles, but so that they would be drawn to the God behind the miracles. And Jesus would tell his followers, "Do not be afraid," because he meant it. For anyone who has a personal relationship with him, there is really no reason to be afraid, because God promises to take care of us no matter what happens to us. In fact, Jesus did warn his followers, saying this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus never promised that we won't face any trouble, nor did he promise that we would have a pain-free and problem-free life. Never once did Jesus say, "Follow me and you will have no trouble." In fact, it would be the opposite. But he did say that believing in him, abiding in him, surrendering to him, that in the midst of whatever may cause us fear, that we can still have peace because he is with us. That is quite a promise. So is it possible to have everything crumbling around you, everything threatening to destroy you, and you somehow can still have peace and not be afraid? Jesus says it is possible. So don't be afraid. And he said this because of who we know is in the midst of whatever we are facing. And Jesus gives us perspective of who he is, because if we can have this perspective, there will be nothing for us to fear. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." This was a powerful statement for anyone who was hearing this. Jesus was so bold to say that whatever is about to happen to you in this physical world, whatever you are facing that will cause you to be scared, you don't ever need to be afraid. Because whatever you are facing, though it may scare you, though it may make you lose your sleep, or even though the circumstances you are facing may even go as far as to hurt or kill you, we don't have to be afraid, because these are simply things that can hurt or kill our body, but not hurt or kill our soul. People and situations that bring trouble may be able to hurt you in this life, but they cannot ever hurt your soul, which is eternal. But Jesus, on the other hand, is someone that has the power to determine when someone dies and where they go for eternity. And because God is in control over all things, Jesus is saying to his disciples and even to us that if anyone is going to follow him, that they should actually be more afraid of him, meaning have a reverent fear of him and his authority, rather than having a fear of everything else that is under him. Jesus is so powerful that he can actually destroy both soul and body by sending us to hell for all of eternity. But as followers of Jesus, because we know this all-powerful being personally, because our faith is in him and that he has saved us from an eternity in hell, we really have nothing to fear in light of that perspective. And the disciples hearing this were shocked, because no ordinary person would ever say or claim such things. Wait, Jesus, you are greater than anything that could make us afraid? So what situations are you facing that are causing fear in your life today? And there's so many situations that can make us fearful. And in order to demonstrate his power and authority over our fears, Jesus took his followers to a place where he could show them and us exactly why we don't ever need to be afraid and how we are to respond when we are. We pick up the account here. That day when evening came, he, meaning Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Jesus had been teaching the whole day and it's getting late. So he tells his disciples to get in the boat and for them to leave across the Sea of Galilee to go over to the other side, to the different region, so that he can preach and teach the people over there. The boat that they got into was about 27 feet long and about 8 feet wide and could carry about 15 people at a time, enough to carry Jesus and his 12 disciples. And it's a nice day, it's smooth ride, and the disciples are relaxing with Jesus on the boat. The disciples are probably talking and joking about the day that they just had and experienced. Some are probably taking a nap as they feel the wind on their faces and the smell of that nice ocean air. Then all of a sudden, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Out of nowhere, a great windstorm happens that causes the waves to start crashing over the boat. In fact, the waves keep coming into the boat, threatening to sink it. The storm was causing such havoc that the disciples, some of whom were professional fishermen, were even fearing for their lives. Plus, life jackets were not invented yet, and there was no Coast Guard, so sinking meant you die. And fear was starting to set in, seeing the waves upon waves splashing onto the disciples and water filling up the boat. But while all this was happening, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Can you tell me what is wrong with this scene? There's a huge storm happening and Jesus is sleeping comfortably in the back of the boat. Doesn't he know what is happening around him? Doesn't he know that the waves are going to sink the boat? Doesn't he know that his own friends are afraid and worrying and don't know what to do in such a situation? Isn't he all-knowing? And didn't he know there would be a storm on the way to the other side? Isn't he the one who told others to follow him, but yet when they needed his help, he was sleeping? And there is something about this picture that makes us take notice. In the midst of all the craziness, in the midst of what's happening that could cause fear, Jesus is somehow fast asleep. Though everything around him is in chaos, he is not afraid, nor is he moved or worried, even though water is filling up the boat. Instead, he's just still and sleeping on a cushion in a rocking boat. But this is the thing that is challenging for us. If we follow Jesus, then following him means emulating Jesus even in all the chaotic situations that we face, which is to be still and be at rest in the storm. Now, is that even possible? Was Jesus demonstrating to his disciples and to us to take his posture of trust, and that we can also be calm and restful and not be moved or worried, even though waves are coming in fast and the wind and water are hitting them? But the disciples didn't have that posture in the storm. And when chaos happened, they responded like how any of us would respond. The disciples woke him, meaning Jesus, and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus, wake up! Don't you know what is happening to us?" And when we face trouble, we too cry out to God for release from our pain, don't we? We cry out in helplessness because we don't know what to do. God, where are you? Don't you know that I'm suffering from this sickness? Don't you know that I fear about my job? Don't you know that I fear about being alone for the rest of my life? Don't you know that I'm afraid to try because I'm going to fail? Don't you know I fear my marriage won't make it? Don't you know that I fear for my child? Don't you know that I won't be able to make ends meet? Don't you know that I am uncertain about my future? Don't you know and don't you care? Jesus, do you not realize that if you don't step in, we will not survive this situation? Wake up! Help us! And many times it feels like when we are afraid or when we need help, that God is taking a nap on us, or that he is silent and he's nowhere to be found, even when we feel that we're about to drown. I've never been in a boat during a storm, but I have been in a plane during a storm with rain and lightning and thunder, and it's really, really scary. This was one of those late night flights, and I was coming back to Boston in a severe rainstorm. And the turbulence on the plane was absolutely crazy. Now, I can handle drops in roller coasters, but the sudden drops that this plane was making because of the wind would make you close your eyes and clench your teeth as you pull on your seatbelt even tighter and grab onto the armrest. In that situation, you feel absolutely powerless to do anything but just wait and pray, hoping that the pilot can get you to your destination safely. I remember you could hear the other people in the plane gasp or go, "Oh," and you could feel the silence and the tension in the cabin, with people fearing for their lives as the rain and wind kept hitting against the plane. And I got a glimpse of how those disciples may have felt. We continue reading that in the midst of this storm, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus gets up from all the commotion and sees his disciples frantic and yelling at him. Then, demonstrating his divine authority over nature, Jesus rebukes the wind and silences the storm just by speaking to it. "Quiet, be still." Do you realize what just happened? Jesus talked to the storm and rebuked it. And what happened? The storm listened to Jesus. All of a sudden, the wind and rain dies down, and the seawater is completely calm. See, when Jesus rebuked someone or something, what he was doing in effect was putting it under God's authority that it stops. That is why when we hear that Jesus rebuked the demons, it meant that he was telling them to stop doing what they were doing under the authority of God. When Jesus rebukes the storm, he was telling it to stop doing what it was doing under the authority of God. All Jesus has to say is quiet, be still, and everything becomes calm. And Jesus made a clear statement to everyone in the boat that this wasn't just an ordinary person that they were following, but that this was the invincible God who was in the boat with them. This was the God who had all authority in heaven and on earth, including power over the weather. And this story shows us two things about the God who is in our boat. That Jesus is bigger than any storm, so much so that he can stop it. And that Jesus is bigger than any storm, so much so that he can use it. Well, if God can stop the storm at any time, then why doesn't he just stop the storm? Why does he make the disciples go through it? And that's a great question, because there are many reasons why God would allow the disciples and even allow us to go through a storm in life. Sometimes he has reasons we are yet to understand. Sometimes we face storms in life and no fault of our own, but because of poor decisions or the sins of others. Sometimes we face storms as a repercussion of living in a broken, fallen, and sinful world. But also do know that sometimes we can end up facing storms in life based on our own irresponsibility or poor decisions that we have made. As a result, we may bring unnecessary fears and storms into our lives and even into the lives of others. If this is the case, then we want to take steps to make amends and to rectify such situations. But also know that even in those situations, God is with us, as he will use those times to shape us to become more like him. For the disciples in this account, they didn't cause the storm, but Jesus was actually there and leading them into the storm in order to reveal the love, power, and authority of God to them. Ultimately, we need to know that storms in life are inevitable. And there will be times when he chooses to step in and prevent us from going through a storm, and there will be times when he doesn't step in, and we will have to go through the storm with him. But because he is greater than all things, including the storms that we face, in his infinite wisdom, God will use such storms as an opportunity for us to draw closer to him in relationship as he shapes us to look more like him in that process. Jesus frequently told his disciples, "I am the great shepherd and I am the gate." And what he was referring to was a promise to those who followed him that he would take care of them like a shepherd takes care of his sheep despite what they were going through. In that area of the world in the Middle East, there were many hills that were full of caves, and for centuries, shepherds would use these natural caves as sheepfolds, meaning places where they can keep their sheep. Since the opening of the caves were wide, the shepherd would carefully stack rocks across part of the opening of the cave, and then he would place thorny bushes on top of those rocks in order to discourage wild animals or thieves from trying to get into the sheepfold. With the small opening left, the shepherd made a doorway for the sheep to go in and out from the cave. However, this opening was just wide enough for the shepherd to lay a cross in order to close the gap. The shepherd acted as the gate, protecting the sheep in his care. With his rod held ready in his hands, he would be ready to protect his beloved sheep against any sort of threat, which also meant that if anything were to encounter the sheep, it would have to pass through the approval of the shepherd first. And though we don't like storms, when a storm does happen in our life, it gets our attention, but it also gives us an invitation to trust God and see Him demonstrate His power in our lives. Just like the sheep trust the shepherd to take care of them no matter where the shepherd leads them, when we follow Jesus, we can trust that when God leads us even into a storm, that the storm will not destroy us, because God is the great shepherd who is also in the boat with us. That is why Jesus' half-brother James says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Even here, James doesn't say, if you face trials, but whenever you face trials or storms, that because God is with us, He somehow uses that or what we are going through, and He conforms us into the likeness of Jesus. Knowing who God is can help us to not fear when a storm hits, but to also know that Jesus can turn our storms into times of learning, repentance, perseverance, humility, and deeper intimacy with Him. And because of that, Jesus was not just telling the wind and the waves to be still, but He was telling us to be still in the midst of the storms we are facing. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still is God's invitation for us to surrender. And we surrender in order that we may know who He is in our lives and in our circumstances. When we are still and surrender to God, His strength is now made perfect in our weakness. When we surrender our life, our heart, our will, our agenda, our desires, and our fears to God, He can more fully reveal Himself to us, and we, in turn, can more fully experience Him in intimate relationship. Be still means surrender what we are holding on to that is causing us fear, and instead to hold on to the One who is our God. Can we be still and trust that God will care for us so we can let go of our expectations of how things must turn out? What fears and worries can we surrender to Him so that we can know that He is our shepherd, that He is our shield, that He is our refuge, that He is our present help in trouble, that He is our King, our Savior, and our Lord? And it is only in our being still, meaning when we cease our striving in our own efforts and attempts to control, that we are able to now exalt Him, meaning lift Him up in praise and magnify Him even in the midst of our fears or our storms. He is so magnified, whereby all we see is Him who is caring for us and loving us, and not the storms that threaten to destroy us. So with whatever we are facing today, can we be still because our confidence is in the One who is in ultimate control and knows who we are and who loves us? We continue to read that after quieting the storm, He, meaning Jesus, said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." Jesus' response is, "Why do you doubt me when you are afraid? Why do you doubt me when tough times come. Have you not realized who I really am? Don't you know what I am truly capable of? After Jesus rebuked the storm, he rebuked the disciples. He is saying, come back under my authority. Come back under my covering. Why do you look at the wind and the waves that threaten you? Look to me. Why do you let what you are afraid of take authority over you? Come back under my authority. Even though storms may hurt or harm your body, know that they can never touch your soul. And Jesus is saying this to not just the disciples in the boat, but he's also saying it to all of us who follow him. So whatever your answer was to the question I asked earlier, what are you afraid of today? Whatever that situation or circumstance may be that you are fearing, Jesus says to you, have peace. Do not be afraid. I'm here in the boat with you. You are not alone. I am your great shepherd, so be still and know that I am your God. I know you are afraid of what may happen in your future. So be still and know that I am God, so you do not need to be afraid. I know you are sick and discouraged, so be still and know that I am God, so you do not need to be afraid. I know you are afraid of all that you see happening in the news and all around the world, so be still and know that I am God, so you do not need to be afraid. See, fear is putting our faith in whatever we are afraid of. It is putting our faith in the what ifs and the what could happen instead of putting it in the God who cares for us and who loves us and who is so much greater than all of our fears. So the invitation for us is to be still, knowing that we are in the presence of God. Remember, before all this happened, Jesus did say, let us go over to the other side, which meant that they would ultimately get to their destination of going to the other side, even if the journey was going to be difficult and stormy, because it would be ironic if Jesus says, hey, let us go to the other side, and they ended up drowning. But when Jesus says something, it will happen, even though we may face many storms on the way. And when any storm comes, we can respond by being still, surrendering, and knowing that he is God. And the storm could not disturb Jesus, but the unbelief of his disciples disturbed him. It was not their fear of the storm that made Jesus say that they had no faith. A small boat in a big storm is a very scary place, and the initial fear itself isn't wrong. But what the disciples chose to do with the fear made all the difference. Jesus' response to them is, how is it that you have no faith? Of all people, Jesus' own disciples should have had faith, seeing all that Jesus was capable of. And he asked us the exact same question. How is it that you have no faith in this situation that is causing you fear? Do you not know who you are following? The disciples realized in that moment who was actually in their midst. And they were even more terrified of Jesus than the storm. They're thinking, Jesus speaks and the waves obey him. He can destroy both body and soul. And the disciples realized this healthy fear of the divine as they just experienced the awesome power and authority of God. So what do I fear? I fear being inadequate and not being enough. Ever since I was young, I heard the message that I wasn't good enough and that I always needed to do more or to perform, and then I would get approval or be loved. So even though I do a lot, there is always that narrative that says that that is not enough, that it won't be good enough. I fear that my family members and friends that I love will never turn to Jesus for their salvation. I fear that people who were once walking with God are now not, and that they won't ever come back to God. As a leader of a church, I fear that there are too many problems in the world and not enough time or manpower or resources to resolve such problems. I fear that people will just cancel each other when there is a conflict instead of working things out. Those are just some fears that crash over my boat. And I used to let it cripple me. But God would always respond, "Why are you so afraid, Edwin? Do you not know who I am? Do you not know that I've taken care of you before and that I will do so again? Do you not know that I've led you even through storms and that you will make it? Do you not know that I'm shaping you to be the person that I meant for you to be? Do you not know that your identity is in me and that you are my child whom I love? So don't be afraid when fear waves crash over your boat, because I am here with you. And when you face situations that scare you, be still and know that I am God." When I put my faith in God's promises, my perspective changes and my fears start to subside. And when the fears come back because I focus on the what ifs, I just meditate and remember that God is with me, that He is in my boat, and therefore I can be still and know that He is God and that He will be exalted in my life and in my circumstances. So a few questions for all of us to reflect on. What fears do you need to surrender to God today? What steps do you need to take to repent and get back under Jesus' authority with your thoughts, your feelings, and your attitude? Where do you need to practice being still and know that He is God over your life? You know, I believe God allowed the disciples to experience this storm so that they could see how big Jesus was in relation to anything that could scare them. That by witnessing this miracle with the calming of the storm, that they would have such a respect and awe of Jesus, knowing that He is more powerful than anything in this universe. And because He was with them, they had nothing to be afraid of. He allowed the storm to show them that He is all authority no matter what happens, and that He is worth trusting and He is worth following. So may you hold on to God's words with whatever storm and fear you are facing today. Be still and know that I am God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you today feeling anxious and fearful. Our mind races with thoughts that we cannot control, and so we ask for your peace. Help us to trust in your plan for our life, even when we don't even understand it. May we be still and know that you are our God as we surrender our fears and our worries over to you, Lord. God, we believe in your power, and we know that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. So have your way in our lives today. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience His love and hope. You want His mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that He came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive us for our sins and to create an avenue so that we can have a real relationship with Him now and for all of eternity. Jesus lived the perfect life and then He chose to die for our sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in Him. And not only did He die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that He wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help to transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of His family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in our relationship with God. Now, friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.